Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Molloy with Mick Molloy and Tony Martin.
And today we take you aboard Air New Zealand flight NZ1 to Wellington to check out the Queen slumming it with the GP. Speaking of New Zealand, we've got another visit from our old friends Tim and Phil. Andrew Denton will be telling us what it's like to meet Paul Keating unplugged. And on Duet with Pete, one of you will have the chance to slap on the mutton chops and belt out an Elvis number with our own king, Mr. Copperart. We'll have Radio Gladiators, the latest nutty scheme from Hugh Hefner, and joining us live, media egghead and collector of jokes, Philip Adams. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that makes the Queen say, "Yes, Mr. Flight Attendant, I will have some headphones, Martin Molloy."
Hi, I'm the guy who says Martin Molloy. Call me on the new SAFM.
That's Sophie B. Hawkins, "As I Lay Me Down." Welcome, Australia, one and all, to Martin Molloy for Wednesday with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man whose own interview special, Boris Yeltsin Unplugged, can be seen tonight on Foxtel. Mick Molloy.
He's on the life support system, Tone. I'm going to get him a double adapter so he can be on the life support system and blend his own drinks at the same time.
Oh, you're always thinking, Mick Molloy, yeah. But let's talk Queen, because what's the Queen been up to? I think we all know by now. Queen Elizabeth II took her own commercial flight yesterday. It's the first time she's been on a commercial flight. And as an economy measure, the Queen flew Air New Zealand to Wellington, thus saving New Zealand taxpayers almost $1 million, which I understand will be used to repair all the vandalised statues of her, which could be found right up and down New Zealand these days. Now, like most people, when I heard about this, I immediately pictured the Queen cramped in an aisle seat in economy, buzzing the hosties for more peanuts and complaining that she's only getting Free Willy 2 in one side of her headphones. But no. Turns out the Queen's got all of first class to herself, and she's separated from the 400 regular passengers by an impregnable steel door. Yeah, that's going economy, is it? That's a bit like, yes, I'm catching a cab to this year's Royal Variety Show. It's a 400-seat cab with hydrofoils and an in-ground pool, and it's been driven by Nigel Mansell, but I will be on tariff too. What do you make of it, Mickey?
Well, as you pointed out, Tone, she's on an ordinary plane with ordinary Joes, but she's not in there jicking it out with everyone else, is she? You're not going to see her queuing up for the dunny, are you? Or asking the person sitting in front to move their chair to the upright position so she can honk onto some macabre ensemble purporting to be beef. And I dare say you won't find her hanging impatiently around the baggage carousel at the other end going, "Come on, what is it? Bushwick?" I don't think it's going to happen. She's up there in first class on her own in a bath on the phone to the captain going, "James, Tahiti looks nice." She's got a bed. Have you heard this? She's got a bed on there. She's got a dining table. I can't confirm this, but a couple of people saw them loading a mechanical bull up through the first class steps.
I hear they've got a driving range. She can practice her golf swing. Right? I think they've got some sort of grouse shooting set up. She just yells, "Pull!" And the flight attendant sends one of those chicken catcher tourists still frozen
beautiful,
over.
Beautiful, beautiful. And if she does need a hasty, she doesn't ring the buzzer. She just pulls a huge rope hanging from the ceiling. And because she's up the front, you know this, Tane, she gets first dibs on hassling the captain to check out the cockpit. Yeah. And she would too, you know. She'd badger the staff to death. "Can I see the cockpit? When? What about now? I can't. I'll knight you." What about the hostie who has to do the safety demonstration? Oh, that'd be a tough gig, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be a one-on-one. You know, exits are here, here, and here. You know, not that you could miss them anyway. What, with a couple of those guys and the black fuzzy hats standing on either side? You know, inflate your life jacket, air, there's your whistle. I mean, why would you bother? I can't really get a mental picture of Her Majesty bobbing round in the Pacific Ocean, red-faced as she blows like buggery on the end of a whistle.
Yes, one needs rescuing. One needs help.
Imagine being on the plane that's going down there. She'd have her parachute on, and before she jumped off, you'd all have to line up near the exit and shake her hand as she goes out. But it got me thinking, Tone, what if you were in this situation where you were one of a handful of air crash survivors, which included Her Majesty, and you were marooned without food or water.
Mm.
How long do you think it'd be before someone pulled you aside and said, what do you reckon about eating the Queen? Because you might have to, mightn't you? That'd be a feast to remember, wouldn't it? Anyone for more ribs? I'd like to try some of the Queen Maryland. That was delicious. Anyone else for seconds? Hey, that's Queen Elizabeth II's to you, pal. Show some respect. What about you, Kev? What do you want? Yeah, I'll have anything Paul Keating hasn't touched.
Welcome aboard Air New Zealand Flight NZ1 to Wellington. I'm your captain, Bob Mather. What? Oh, thank you, madam. Sir Bob Mather. We'll be flying at approximately 60,000 feet. 10,000 feet with, a couple of Top Gun-style barrel roll manoeuvres thrown in whenever things get a bit boring. Right you are. A special cheerio to a little lady in first class today. And the rest of you? Well, enjoy the veal parmigiana. The movie in first today will be a rough cut of the next three chapters in the Star Wars trilogy, while those of you in economy will, I'm sure, enjoy Lightning Jack in Spanish. And now, we'd like to... What, madam? No, you can't have a go on that. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find your flotation devices under your seats. What? Oh, no, you won't. They've been used to construct a massive waterbed in first.
That's John Mellencamp with Jack and Diane. And Mick, do you think we missed any angles with that Queen on the plane deal?
No, I think we covered that.
I think there's a couple of crumbs we could probably go back for later.
Yeah, I'll be sniffing around.
Okay, but speaking of New Zealand, I know we get a lot of requests here at the program for recordings from the Tim and Phil Morning Show.
They just had a very good ratings survey too, I understand.
Yeah.
They've been celebrating. Good luck to them.
I think they've got up to about 17th now. I'm not sure what... I don't even know what channel they're on in New Zealand. They never say, have you noticed? But we've got another excerpt from their program here. Have a listen.
G'day. You're back with the Tim and Phil Morning Show. That was Cliff Richard with Living Doll. Did you like that, Phil? Yes, Tim. It was filth. I agree. It was filth. And now, listeners, time for one of our hysterical Tim and Phil wacky phone calls. Brought to you by Vim Liquid Disinfectant, an indispensable addition to any kitchen. And no knickers, they're simply irresistible. Today, we're calling up Winston Nicholson, the Minister of Immigration and Fisheries, to attempt to institute an internal investigation. But it's just a bit of a whim of Phil's. That's right. I'm going to attempt to blame his department for my missing chili bin. This is it.
Hello? Winston Nicholson, Minister of Immigration and Fisheries.
Hello, Winston. This is Tim and Phil.
Hello, Tim. Hello, Phil.
We'd like to institute an internal inquiry involving Phil's missing chili bin.
Missing chili bin? We know nothing about any missing chili bin.
It went missing when we went fishing on Tim's 50-foot skip. One minute we were skinny dipping, the next minute Phil had been hit by the spinnaker and drifted into unconsciousness. And Tim mustn't have been sufficiently vigilant, because when the listlessness lifted, the chili bin had disappeared.
Tell me, when you were skinny dipping, did you remember to slip, slop, slap?
Slip, slop, slap? No, we didn't slip, slop, slap.
That's unfortunate, because in New Zealand, it's now illegal not to slip, slop, slap if you're skinny dipping.
Is it? Shit. Quick, Tim, hang up. This is a disaster. Take a chill pill, Phil. I'm sure Winston Nicholson, the Minister of Immigration and Fisheries, bears us no ill will. Okay, but today's wacky phone call wasn't very filth. I agree, it wasn't very filth. But listen to this. Coming up on the Tim and Phil Morning Show, we'll be talking to Jimmy Smits, Chris Christopherson, and some of the stars of The Bill. In the Tim and Phil kitchen, Phil will be whipping up some cinnamon fingers, and Paul Clitheroe will be in with an interesting business proposition. Now that sounds filth. I agree. It is filth. But now, more music. Here's Tim Finn with Fraction Too Much Friction.
There's a fraction too much friction.
That's Simply Red with Fairground here on Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiators is coming up, and in the next hour, who have we got? We've got some kind of egghead, some kind of boffin in on the program. It's Philip Adams.
How would you describe him?
Well, wasn't he responsible for the Commission for the Future?
He was.
Wasn't that one of his ideas?
That was his little baby.
How'd it turn out?
We must ask.
Yeah.
He's many things to many people.
Yeah.
To us, he's just the cute old bloke.
Yeah, old bloke. And he's got a fair bit to say about the world of humour, because he's put out some kind of joke book, I understand.
Mm. And don't make out like you haven't read it.
Yeah.
Where do you think these shows have been coming from for the last 8 months? So tell us about your book.
That we haven't even bothered to look at.
But that'll be in the next hour. And speaking of eggheads, are you there, Andrew Denton?
Yes, hello. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you, chaps.
Andrew, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
That's the way. Now, what's this about you and the Prime Minister? What have you been up to?
I never touched him, honestly. It was an accident. He fell.
Yeah. And is he on telly tonight, or is this all some kind of stunt?
Oh, the facts. You want the facts?
Yeah.
Yes, tonight, 8 o'clock on Channel 2nd, it's Paul Keating Unplugged.
Yeah, but is it bona fide, or is it just, you know, some kind, is it that safety man you have on your show?
Oh, no, it's the real Prime Minister, it's the real Paul Keating, although he's been dressed by someone very peculiar. I don't know who chooses his clothes. I can't believe it's him. I mean, a garish yellow tie, which is obviously trying to grab the youth market.
Really?
And the nice blue blazer.
He didn't go for the full don't forget your toothbrush gear.
No, he didn't do that. I think he was just talked out of it at the last minute, because I noticed there was a pair of red shoes being tidied away as I met him.
Right. And what about the musical challenge, Andrew? You got him doing something there?
Well, we did negotiate over that for quite a deal of time, and you see, he was dead keen to sing My Girl Bill. And I managed just to talk him out of it. I said to him, Paul, I don't think this is going to help you. I think of your image, for Pete's sake. Yeah. So in the end, he's done a bit of Scar.
Great. Can you do me a favour, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
Can you ask him for my Silverchair CD back? He's borrowed it, and I haven't seen it in about a month, the dirty dog.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing with this guy. You trusted a politician, did you?
Yeah.
You're a damn fool, McVeloy.
I need a kick in the pants, don't I?
Yeah,
tell him to leave the key out at the lodge. I could be up with a couple of Echo Point babes this weekend. And
God, you still know how to live, don't you?
Could be something coming his way.
I think the thing about Paul, the thing we've all learnt from Silverchair this week, and I know Paul won't do it anymore, stage diving. Not a good look.
Yeah. Hey, here's something. Did you do much research, Andrew? Did you have to? Because I was thinking you probably could have just asked the same list of questions you asked Roger Daltrey. That'd be good, wouldn't it? What were you and Mooney doing head to toe in feathers in that hotel room? You know?
Well, look, Mick, you've actually got me there, because I didn't ask exactly the same questions I asked Roger Daltrey, but it was pretty much the same attack. You know, you're a drugged out old hippie. We all know from the Ramrods days how wild that was. We've seen the photos.
And just for a laugh, just keep repeating the phrase, my next question without notice is to the Prime Minister. That'll be a cack.
Yeah, and to everything he said, I just said in a very bored tone of voice, yes, Prime Minister. He loved that.
Well, you've got to amuse yourself somehow. Andrew, were you given a list of things you weren't allowed to, were you not allowed to photograph him from, certain angles?
Yes, he seemed to get very upset, actually, at the start of the show when I said, well, Baldy, and we stopped tape at that point. I don't know what happened. I think it was a technical breakdown, I was told.
I just tell him you're a battler. Sorry about that, I'm a battler.
Yeah, I waved a ballot paper at him. That calmed him down, actually. It just reminded him of who had the power in this relationship. Also, I was told, and I was surprised at this. I mean, I know there's protocol with prime ministers, but even so, I wasn't allowed to pants him.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what?
Can you believe that?
Oh, I don't know how you've maintained your integrity as an interviewer. You should have walked.
Well,
if I can't pants the PM, I'm out of here.
Well, fortunately, I had the intellectual fallback of I was able to spin a wheel and give away a prize, so it was fine in the end.
Oh, good on you. Hey, did he bring along that hat full of beaks that he got in Papua New Guinea?
The five hornbill hat?
Yeah.
No, you see, that was on hire from Tony Barlow's menswear.
Of course it was, like so many things are. Well, thanks for that, Andrew.
That's right. You've got the true story on the interview tonight, guys. As only you can.
Absolutely. And that's Andrew Denton with Paul Keating Unplugged, and it's tonight on, what's the channel again, Andrew?
Yeah, Channel 2nd. Yep.
Okay, at 8 o'clock, and stick around, people. Thanks, Andrew. We'll be back, in just a few moments with Radio Gladiators.
This is Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy.
I mean, what are people going on about?
Brought to you by...
Dr. Alban, who's pretty keen on the idea of singing Hallelujah on Martin Malloy, the home of...
Radio!
you, Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, in the past on this segment, we've done things that your dad says, things that your mum says, and a lot of people have been saying, why don't you do things that the kids say, that the young folks say, just unusual things that the kids come out with. Here's an example of one. A couple of friends of mine are, well, let's not beat about the bush. They're hippies. And they've got two kids. One is Shane. He's about 8 years old. And then there's young Kevin, who's just 2 years old. And what they decided to do as part of the older one's education, they thought they'd show him a video of the younger brother being born. You know the home birth videos? I mean, I'm not sure whether that's really...
It's an unfortunate trend, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think people would rather be, you know, playing the Nintendo. But anyway, they've decided it's a good idea. So they've put on the video and they're showing Shane. He's eight, he's watching, and they're waiting, you know, there's the birth thing's going on. And he's pretty unimpressed. He's not very interested, and he's just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, his eyes have sparked up. He's pointed at the screen, and he's gone, "Hey, look, here comes Kevin!" So there's an example. There's it. It's just, it's a true-to-life, funny little bon mot that the kids have come out with.
Something to go on with. I had I was in the presence of a little kiddie the other day. He said something very funny to me. What was it again? Oh, that's right. God, crack me up. He said, "Could you escort me down the station, please, Mr. Malloy?" Because they're getting younger and younger. He must have been about eight.
You're joking.
He cuffed me and in the back. I'm thinking, crikey. He's got to hear something else funny the kids say. "Mum, when I finish my homework, can I go on tour with the Red Hot Chili Peppers?" That's cracking them up.
And has anybody seen my pants? But
they're made up ones. We don't want them.
No, we don't want made up ones. We want real, just funny little things that kids have seen. And Gracie, I think you've got one, haven't you? Our producer.
True story. Walking past a fish market in a large suburban shopping centre, a man was holding up an octopus and the child said, "Hey, Mum, look at the testicles on that."
Gracie, true story though it may be, that's
bad
what,
boy.
That's what we don't want. Because I can already feel
producer.
All over the country, people are getting their dial and fingers ready and they're going to call up with those jokes, you know, what's daddy doing to mummy? You know those sort of jokes? We don't want that kind of...
them playing wheelbarrow races.
No, we don't want the blue gear today. You know, much as we like it, it's not really...
Don't stand the corner,
it's
Gracie.
Not the time slot. Save it for Dr. Feelgood. And what about prizes? Well, we've got the Sony Discman. It's turned on by the fine folk at 4 and 20 pies. Do we need to rhapsodise about the 4 and 20?
Let's move on.
I think we've done enough. What about the Ford Festiva? You're in the draw for this car. It's courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. And the Ford Festiva, would the Queen be seen in one?
Yes. Purely as a cost-saving device. Yeah. When she comes out here and she's going to go to the Open,
right?
She said she wants to travel in the Ford Festiva.
Is that
because
right?
Because not only is it cheaper, not only is it more economical, but it's just bloody great to get behind the wheel. You've got to drive it yourself.
When you say, you know, cost-cutting measure, that's not the reason. She just had a look at it, and she's gone, one is impressed by the 1.3-litre fuel-injected engine.
One cannot argue.
One is blown away by the manoeuvrability.
Exactly. One is going out cruising.
So keep an eye out for the Queen behind the wheel of a Festiva come open time. But in the meantime, call us with your stuff, what the kids say, on 1-800-657-657.
SAFM.
That's Portrait asking the musical question, how deep is your love, on Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators, and today's idea, it's a bit of a cutesy one, but we've done, you know, what do the mums say, what do the dads say? Today we're asking, what do the kids say, the young folk? Mickey, who's on board?
We've got Ben on the line. G'day, Ben.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Ah, not too bad. Now, let's get straight into it. What's been going on?
Well, I work in Hollies at Kmart, Sunnybank Hills, up in Brisbane.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, I was serving a gentleman, and I said, "Excuse me, sir, what would you like?" And his daughter said, "Oh, well, I'd like a packet of Tim Tams that never runs out."
Oh, right, like in the commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's kids being affected by what's on the telly.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I was always asking Mum if we could go to the wacky races this weekend.
Hey, Ben, you should have given, he said, should have got a pack of Tim Tams and said, "Here, buddy, it's this one. It's the only one, so have fun." And he would have eaten them, and then it wouldn't have filled up, and he would have learnt a very valuable lesson about life.
Oh, I suppose.
Helpful advice for the listeners there, Mickey. Okay, thanks very much, Ben. But have we got Grant there? What happened to you?
Our family was at a nice Italian restaurant, and the waiter comes over, and she asks for our order.
Yeah.
And my little sister comes right out and says, I'll have the spaghetti marijuana, thanks.
Oh, right. And then she'd be asking for that everlasting packet of Tim Tam afterwards. There's a way to wear the Dolmio grin. But, yes, that's a beauty.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and was any delivered?
No.
Okay,
unfortunately.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Because you'd be getting your munchies at exactly the same time.
Yeah,
beautiful. Two birds with the one stone. Thanks very much, Grant. But, Jill, what happened to you?
Oh, hello. Yeah, my nephew was watching the Arnold Schwarzenegger video, Junior.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd given birth to the baby, and my nephew said, when are they going to cut the extension cord?
The extension cord?
Yes.
See, I wouldn't send him down the shop for electrical supplies.
No, I don't think so.
And did he enjoy the film? Was it an educational experience?
Yes, he actually made another comment, but I can't really repeat that.
Oh, yes. I suspect we may have got a lot of comments like that that we've had to filter out. But thanks anyway, Jill.
Thank you.
Okay, and Karen is next. Karen, what's your story?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was on my way home from shopping last Thursday night, and we had some takeaway in the car, and we were rear-ended by a Valiant.
Oh, no.
I dragged my daughter out of the car. My car was a write-off, and all she could say was, great, now I have no food and I'm going to miss The Simpsons.
Oh, yes. Well, that
sounds like... So it just goes to show you where the priorities lay with kids. It's food and entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, well, I would have said the same thing myself.
Exactly. I was in an accident last week with my mother and, well, that was virtually a direct transcript of, of our conversation too, I'm afraid.
And is everybody okay, Karen?
Everybody's okay except for my poor little car.
Oh, no. And what about the Valiant? It wasn't a Charger, was it?
Oh, it was some young lout.
Oh, hooligans! The young people of today. Okay, well, thanks for that, Karen, and all the best with the repairs. But finally, we've got Steve. Steve, what happened to you?
Oh, hi, guys. I had to attend my Uncle Jack's funeral, and during the service, right at a quiet time in the, during the service, some little about four-year-old kid pipes up and says, if Jack's in the box, is he going to pop up?
Oh, really? Well, I think that might be our winner. And how was that comment received, Steve?
Well, not very well. You know, you got a giggle from some immature people, but...
Not a good look at a funeral, is it?
No, not very good at all.
And I'm assuming he was disappointed.
Yes, didn't pop up at all.
Well, it was a wild shot, but you never know. Okay, well, thanks, Steve. You've for that little story, you've bagged the Sony Discman.
Thank you.
And I think you've gone, yes, into the drawer for the Ford Festiva.
Oh, I'd love that and give that to my wife. She's just had a birthday yesterday, so, you know, I'm late for a present.
Okay, well, you're in the drawer there, and if you do win it, watch out for those Valiants.
Yeah.
Okay, and thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. Thanks to all our gladiators today. We'll be back tomorrow with another round, but stick around, people, because we're going to up the intellectual content of the program in the next hour. After the news, we'll be joined by Philip Adams.
25 degrees, you're now up to date. Only 8 days until the sensational Adelaide Grand Prix.
Martin Malloy, get your mutton chops on Duet with Pete. We're challenging one of you to belt out an Elvis number with our own Pete Smith. But next up, we're going scone to scone with media guru Philip Adams. And it's all thanks to Telstra MobileNet Digital. Victims of the rabbit plague, I think, Mickey. It's the second hour of Martin Malloy. That's Cranberries with Dreams. It's time to welcome our guest, folks. This bloke, well, he's done it all. He's a media commentator, a writer, a film producer. He's on for anything Egyptian. His Penguin Book of Australian Jokes, which he wrote with Ms. Patrice Newell, has sold more than 150,000 copies. Now they've been heads down on the internet banging out a sequel, The Penguin Book of Jokes from Cyberspace. Here he is, the man in black, Philip Adams. Philip, thanks for coming in today.
Actually, oh, I'm in a radio station where there are listeners.
This
is a concept totally unknown at Radio National.
So you've got to be on your guard. You've got to be careful what you say.
Well, I talk to the listener singular, and it is literally true. I mean, sometimes we don't bother turning the transmitter on. I just go around to their place.
And does he ever give you any feedback, any calls?
It's a woman called Gladys.
Oh, really? How is she?
Well, Gladys is fine. But you've got thousands of people to listen to.
We do our best to deter them, Philip, but they keep coming back. Now, Philip, we've got a list of credits in front of us for you. Mm. It's commissions, and you've advised prime ministers. But it's taken a little book of jokes to get you in on Martin Molloy. What are you up to? What have you done?
Well, look, I was trying to make contact with the dead, because I think most of the interesting people are dead.
You
must find that with living celebrities are a pretty drug on the market.
Yeah.
The Ouija board wasn't working, so we then tried the internet, and out of it came this hemorrhage of bigotry, racism, sexism. I mean, you're in the business, you know the jokes are all pretty disgusting, aren't they?
Basically. We read your book and said, gee, there's probably 500 episodes of our show in there, potentially.
Yeah, but it is deeply depressing. I think, what is one's reaction to mortality? You can commit suicide, you can take Prozac, or you can laugh.
Yeah,
not necessarily in that order, really.
And have you noticed how there's a certain time difference when you've, say, got a space shuttle exploding? You really have to wait about a week before the gags start.
Not on the net. Not on the net.
Straight in there.
There were daily O.J. Simpson jokes, 99.9% of which were totally unfunny.
Right.
But no, the net is instant. It's just not good.
You're not impressed by the whole internet concept, is it?
Well, I'm a Luddite. You see, this book is designed to throw at computer screens. So I thought I'd be dead before all this happened. I was looking forward to escaping scot-free without having to learn to play with all these, bloody knobs.
Hang on a second.
When you were youngsters.
You were on the commission for the future. I mean, surely you should have anticipated this kind of eventuality. Mate, what was that, by the way?
I'll tell you another anomaly. I was also responsible for the Life Be In It campaign. Right. There are two contradictions. Here's someone who is surrounded by dead Egyptians. He's on the commission for the future. And someone who can't waddle upstairs is in the business of advocating frisbee tossing.
And what exactly was the Commission for the Future?
It was a sop to Barry Jones. Barry was, as you know, the resident guru of the Labor government, but not, that no one listened to.
No.
And so Hawke gave him this thing to play with, and Barry, Barry's my only friend, actually. He said, we're not talking at the moment. He gave me the Commission for the Future to play with, because I was quite good at running those sort of government-y things.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And don't ask me what it was. It was a commission basically for the future.
Okay.
Yes.
Now you've seen the future. We're there.
It didn't work. I didn't like it. I resigned. Back to the mummies. You know where you are with a mummy, don't you, Dan?
Yes, you certainly do. And do you still
Did you come to my place that day? Because I had the whole D-gen.
He wasn't there. No. I wasn't there, but I think I may have been to Molly Meldrum's place at one point. But is there any similarity?
Molly's is fake. Mine are real theatre Egyptians. Molly's are just ex-friends. He has wrapped.
Yes, Ted Mulry's in a glass case. Now, Philip, can you stick around for a while?
I want to know why there are so many dustbins downstairs. Is that what happens to guests here?
No, that's all our material.
The dustbin.
It's the next hour of the program. But we're going to bolt you to your seat because we haven't finished with you yet. We want to talk more about the future and about jokes. That'll be next, right here on Martin Molloy. Carnival, that's Natalie Merchant here on
Martin Molloy.
And Philip Adams has managed to stick around for another break.
The music was great.
Now, Philip, you're a media boffin. You love the media, I can tell. What do you make of pay TV? Is it worth it?
It's a cure for which there is no disease. I've actually got Galaxy hooked up. And it's like the commission for the past. You turn it on and there's sort of like Bilko and Gilligan's Island is still attached to Gone Wonderland.
They're complete and uncut. It's uncensored Gilligan.
Yeah. Yes, it's great. That's true. It's raw Gilligan, isn't it? The other day I saw all these huge ads for Foxtel. Now, one of the things I do is I'm a television critic. I've been a television critic since John Logie Baird was in short pants.
You're not wearing a bow tie, Phil.
No.
Get one on.
And I don't go to promos, but I rang up Foxtel and said, okay, I want to be connected, right? They said, where do you live? And I said, Paddington. I said, oh, we're not in Paddington yet. I said, Jesus, if you're not in bloody Paddington, where the hell are you? I mean, here's this, they're out there pumping out programs and there's nobody wired up.
You're out the front waiting by the letterbox, tapping your feet, going, come on.
Fibre optics, for God's sake.
Okay, well, that's the internet and pay TV taken care of. What about the film industry? You've had a hand in it for quite some time. What do you
not
make
the
of
the only part that's been in it, I've got to tell you. Other appendages were also applied.
Oh, you were in the Elvin Purple films, were
it's
you?
It's good now. It's very amusing. It's the film. Seriously, the film industry now is what I wanted it to be in the early 70s. Mm. You know, it's boutique. What's that sort of jargon term?
Art house.
Niche marketing.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
but, but bright, intelligent, culturally specific films for grown-ups.
Yeah. Talking pigs, yeah. And what do you think about the new Fox Studios? Do you think that, how do you think that's going to affect the balance?
Is Rupert listening?
No.
I'm not into all that stuff. I think that monstrous organisation up on the Gold Coast is more than enough. I mean, you know, we're a location film industry. I mean, like you guys used to go and do your funny little films in the streets, didn't
we
you?
We did.
That is enough. It's like the sort of the neo-realism of Italian cinema, isn't it?
Can we enter those in the AFIs, do you think, Philip?
You could, but you wouldn't win anything.
We wouldn't win anything.
You could enter them by all means.
I'm not sure if you're aware of a piece of cinema we've knocked out. It's called Barge Arse.
It's a work of genius.
Yeah, you think it's got a chance at Cannes or Cannes or however you say it?
It ought to. I'm in fact actually going to invest in a dub. I think it was your proudest moment.
We thought it might have gone over a few people's heads, but apparently they're biting, so that's good.
I remember asking your putative producer how the actors had felt about it, and there were a few that weren't too happy about that, weren't they? Oh, no, it was the other one. It was Gold Rush.
The olden days.
Yes, that was the one that they were bitter about.
You might have noticed with that is when we started it, there was a cast of about 20, and as the actors phoned in to complain, by the end of it, we were only using about 6 cast members from Rush, and you'd see someone's hand occasionally and not know whose it was.
I don't know why I'm being nice about Barge Arse. I think it's deeply offensive that you target someone of who's got a certain amount of pneumatic, you know, dimensions in the posterior part, and I think that's cruel.
And that's a quote we're going to put on the cover.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you can talk, Philip Adams. Have a read of some of the gear in this book of yours. There's a fair bit of stuff we can't read out on the program.
It's
disgusting. Jokes from cyberspace.
It's disgusting. I'll tell you something interesting. The last book, the Australian book, one bookshop in Oxford Street refused to stock it because of homophobia. The Human Rights Commission had a long look at it and were going to sort of take action. Not one letter of complaint.
Is that right?
I mean, people understand that jokes are therapy, don't they?
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Do you get complaints?
Yes. See, that's why we're not driving in here, I'm afraid, Philip. I wish we could say the same. Well, all the best with the book.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in today.
Lovely to see you and to talk on a radio station with listeners.
We've been talking to Philip Adams, grown up, right here on Martin Molloy.
S-A-F-M.
That's Keep Me Hanging On, Kim Wilde here on Martin Molloy. Sorry, I was just thinking as I was saying it, is that one of the songs coming up on Duet with Pete? That one there?
Yeah. I don't know. I have to check the archives.
And maybe we could get that very famous potluck contestant, Krista Krull, who assayed that song on the Ernie Sigley show many years
ago. Have we got the money?
See if we can get her on board for a duet. But, thanks to Philip Adams for coming in, by the way, and his book, Jokes from Cyberspace, is out now. And basically, from what I can tell, him and Patrice Newell have just sat at a computer for about a year.
Mm.
Stealing gags.
Surfins, so they say.
Yeah, but it's all in one handy book, and I think it might be out now. So, and it's a pity we couldn't persuade Philbo to stick. Oh, by the way, I call him Philbo, and you must know this. If you come on the show and your name's Philip, you're going to get called Philbo.
It's going to come around eventually.
If Prince Philip came on the show, he'd just be Philbo. So just a warning to potential Phillips thinking of coming
on.
As I was saying, it's a pity we couldn't get him to stick around, because I know he's probably got a pretty good singing voice. He's in the media. It's a pity we couldn't persuade him to have a crack at this.
Have you ever dreamed of singing a duet with one of the greatest voices of the century? No, I'm not talking about Frank Sinatra, Luciano Pavarotti, Kurt Cobain or Gary Sweet. It's me, Mr. Copperart, Pete Smith. What a feeling! Simply by calling Martin Malloy and performing a duet with Pete, you can realise that dream and bag yourself a fabulous prize. Firstly, every performer gets the Die Hard prize pack featuring Die Hard with a Vengeance on home video. You remember Die Hard with a Vengeance? It's the one with all the explosions. Then, if your duet scores more than 5 out of 10 from our judges, you're in the draw for that brand new Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. Today's selection is Blue Suede Shoes, which of course I myself wrote for the King back in the mid-50s. Okay, lads, call me when you're ready.
Will do, Pete. And Blue Suede Shoes, that's the number today. It's pretty straightforward. You can't botch Blue Suede Shoes, can you?
It's a classic.
And Real Elvis, if you're out there and you're live, call in.
Oh, there's a moment I'd like to hear preserved.
But as always, you're going to need a pen and paper. Don't think of calling. If you haven't got a pen and paper in your hand, here's the pen and paper music. Over to the sideboard. Have a rummage. Little to the left. No, not that. Not that. Not the sellotape. No, no, no. Put down the barbecue tongs. That's it. The pen. Grab the pen. A bit of paper. Come on, get the paper.
Come on, Slowcoach.
We're not going to say this twice. How much more music is there, Gracie? I'd love to hear the full track one day. But perhaps not today. Okay, you've got your pens and paper. Now's your chance to sing a duet with Pete. Call now, 1-800-657-657. Welcome back to Martin Malloy, where today we've all got the chops on. It's just all Vegas style. Glitzing here. We're talking Elvis. We're talking the King. We're talking Blue Suede Shoes. It's duet with Pete. That's the number. On one side, Pete Smith, Mr. Copper Art. Who's going to step up to the second mic, Mickey?
It's Shane. How are you, Shane?
How are you, Mickey?
Not too bad, mate. Oh, how about that? You're on.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I hope you know what you're doing. You
I'm
in the jumpsuit?
Mate. Hey?
You in the jumpsuit?
Yeah, I'm worse than that, mate. In the high heels, got a law.
Honking onto a chicken?
Honking onto a what? Chicken?
Honking onto a chicken. That'll get your point right now.
Okay.
What we're talking is, we're talking Elvis. Do you look like the King, Shane?
Oh, when I had the Jason Priestley hairstyle, I did, mate.
And what happened there?
Oh, I don't know. It was a mistake went wrong.
Okay. What are you sporting now?
Just the average, everyday.
Shane.
Two on the side.
You got the Shane cut. That's what everyone's calling it. I'm going to go get myself a Shane.
Like a Shane, please. Okay, enough banter. It's time to sing. You ready?
I'm ready, mate.
Okay, take it away, Pete and Shane.
One, two, three.
Well, it's one for the money.
Two for the show.
Three to get ready.
Now go, cat, go.
But don't you
step on my blue suede shoes.
Well, you can do anything.
But stay off of my blue suede shoes.
Well, you can knock me down.
Step on my face.
Slander my name.
All over the place.
You can do anything
that you wanna do.
But honey,
lay off them shoes.
But don't you
step on my blue suede shoes.
Well, you can do anything,
but stay off my blue suede shoes.
Yes, I think that's enough.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, Shane, how does it feel to have been called honey by Mr. Copperart on national television, or radio, for that matter?
Well, I've got a friend whose name's actually Pete Smith, so, you know, I'm used to it.
Oh, understood.
I see.
Gotcha. Now, you've got the Die Hard prize pack.
Thanks, mate.
And it's Die Hard with a Vengeance and all manner of Die Hard accessories. And, Mick, how many points are we going to give this performance?
What does he need to get into the show?
You'll need at least a six.
He needs a six. I was thinking five. Can you think of another reason to throw him the point?
I'll give him a six.
Alrighty.
Okay, Shaney, you're in. You're into the Vegas lounge. You're into the barrel. You're in with a chance for the Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open.
And don't I need one.
Okay, good on you. And that'll go very nicely with a haircut, should it come your way. So thanks for playing along today.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll be back with another duet with Pete at the same time tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Oh, okay.
What happened then?
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether he'd finished or not.
Oh, I think he'd finished a minute or two ago.
Well, I thought he was finished a couple of years ago, but apparently that's a new single.
Oh, damn.
That's Heaven for Everyone by Queen. What's the story? New single?
Yeah.
So, but I thought he'd passed on, Mr. Mercury. Is this some kind of tax dodge? Is that what's going on there?
They all joined hands.
Oh, right. It's a bit of, okay, they brought in a clairvoyant and got another album out of him. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Okay, now.
He had a contractual obligation. They had him stitched up. He had to do that last album. Sure.
Is he available for duet with Pete? That's what I want to know. And Shane certainly was.
Oh, yeah.
A sensational bit of work there on Blue Suede Shoes. And did you notice at the end I've asked him how did he feel about being on that, and I've said national television quite by
you
mistake.
Did say that.
Could you hear him just looking around at home thinking, has this been filmed? Because, you know, I can't imagine what he was doing. I'm sure there was a lot of physical action going on while...
It would have been a lot of gyrating hips on the other end, I think, because he sounded like he knew what he was doing.
Absolutely. Mm. And this isn't on television. This is the radio, because I must stop putting makeup on before every program.
Hello. I'm Dominique Girard, French ambassador to Australia. You know, despite my obnoxious personality and unfortunate physical resemblance to Ned Flanders of The Simpsons, I have managed to create a sensual new fragrance for the pig-headed man of today. Dominique, an objectionable new parfum that brings out the pernicious colonial in any man. Dominique, whether you're cowering behind the curtains at the embassy, out on the front steps delivering a message of unprecedented arrogance to the waiting press, or just watching the eggs bounce off your windscreen as you are once again summoned to Parliament House to make like you give a shit what these unsophisticated down-under ex-convicts think of your country's stubborn refusal to bow to international condemnation. Dominique, the offensive new fragrance for the international asshole of today. We've tested it. Believe me, we've tested it.
Shy guy,
that's Diana King winding up another edition of Martin Malloy. Mickey, just before we go, it was Halloween yesterday. Mm. And did you check out some of the wacky Halloween costumes in the papers that celebrities were wearing? Did you see what was Al Gore wearing, the vice president? Dressed up as the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. That's fantastic, isn't it? Mm. Any others? Did you spot any? Let me see.
No, I didn't spot any. I saw the picture of Bill Clinton, and he was dressed as the president. made me laugh. he's gone right. That's fancy dress.
I was hoping he'd be one of the other characters from Beauty and the Beast. Maybe the singing teapot. That's what you want to see, isn't it? A teapot in a set of jogging shorts with a...
White with two things, Mr. President.
Exactly.
Oh, here's a tip. Yeah. Because I went out trick-or-treating. Don't, if you're in the costume, don't go into the 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah, really?
Because the guy behind the counter, they go, what? I didn't have to say trick-or-treat. He just handed me money.
And what were you dressed as?
A witchy boot.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, a bit of a clown here.
Yeah. I went out trick-or-treating. I decided to get a really scary-looking kind of mask costume. I know we had some great suggestions on the show yesterday, but I settled on David Copperfield. It was fantastic. You should have seen the terror in people's eyes. And then, you know, when they said trick, I just strapped myself in a shonky box and went over Niagara Falls. So it was a fun old evening. But
excellent.
Enough of this. We've got to get out of here. Thanks to our guests today, Philip Adams, Andrew Denton, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by the lead singer of Def Leppard, Joe Elliott. Now, do you think he'll be doing a duet with Pete?
Oh, I reckon he's got one in him.
Okay.
Maybe one.
We'll talk to him. And we'll leave you today with this recording made on the Queen's first commercial flight to New Zealand.